1 Kings chapter 22 tonight, a very needed passage of Scripture. It's discerning the will of God to have His blessings in friendships, in relationships. Now, we're going to learn some lessons tonight, some principles from two men, both kings. I want you to notice, if you would, in the outline, A, Roman numeral 1, Ahab and Jehoshaphat combined forces, and it was a disaster for Ahab. But I want you to notice, A, one of God's key principles is that His people should not have fellowship and run with the wicked. Now, if you have your Bible, notice with me, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn with me, if you would, there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at this passage very quickly. This is the New Testament passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice it. You'll notice in chapter 6 in verse number 14. And be not unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. Now let's just take a minute there and pause. What is a yoke? It's anything that puts two people together pulling in the same direction. A yoke could be a business venture, which you get in a business deal with someone that's unsaved. A yoke obviously would be marriage or dating. You have to be very careful. There is such a thing called missionary dating. We ought to stay away from it, far away from it. And that is that you see somebody that's unsaved and you start dating them to try to bring them to Christ. Most of the time they pull you away from Christ. And the passage is, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We have to be careful of any kind of a yoke that causes us, you don't make an agreement, a commitment with someone that's unsaved, so that you work together closely, sharing ideas and thoughts. Now, you may work with unbelievers. That's different. But whenever you have a choice about things, you don't put down your guard and make a yoke. The idea is, a yoke is that something you put over together and you walk together. You pull together. You go the same direction. And what he's trying to say here is that you don't do that. They never put a mule and an oxen in the same yoke, because it would never work. The mule was different than the oxen, and it would always break the yoke, or it would cause him to go the wrong direction back. It was just a real pain. And so they learned, never ever put a yoke of oxen together with in a yoke, the same thing with a horse or with a mule. So you'll notice, if you would, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And here he says, here's the part of the yoke he's talking about. Any yoke that has fellowship with it, where you get together and you get close to each other and you share ideas and thoughts and dreams, that's fellowship. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion? That's where you share heart. You discuss things close to your heart. With things, notice this, with darkness, or those with light with darkness. And notice verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What agreement does Christ have with people that are wicked? None. And notice, if you would, in verse number 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So in this passage, it's like the Jewish people were worshiping in the congregation, in the synagogues, and they were offering lambs, and the Christians knew that the Lamb of God was paid, had already come and paid the debt of sin. So it says, why do you go and worship in the synagogue where they're still offering an offering, waiting for the Messiah, when the Messiah has already come? He said, what agreement do you have with him? How can you do that? So we don't worship with someone that doesn't believe the Scriptures. We don't worship with people that believe that doctrine that's not according to the Scriptures. And there's a lot of things out there. So this becomes our source and guidebook for everything that we believe. That doesn't mean you can't be friendly toward people. But anytime you put a yoke on and you share thoughts and ideas and dreams, now you're yoking up with people that are not going the same direction. And it's like a donkey and it's like an oxen, and it won't work. It'll break the yoke, but you won't get anything done, and you'll hurt each other. Now, notice, if you would, in verse number 7, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from, this is chapter 7, verse 1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he said, we've got the promises that God says, if you'll come out among them, come out from among them, I'll bless you. You'll notice in verse number 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father unto you. So he says, I will be close to you. I will be communion with you. I will fellowship with you, but I can't fellowship with you while you're worshiping people that are still looking for the Messiah. My son's already come. And so don't go to the Jewish synagogue to worship. You might go to the Jewish synagogue to open the scriptures and teach them what's right. Try to turn their hearts back, but you can't go there to worship, because they're worshiping a God that hasn't come yet. And we know that God has come. And so he's trying to teach them this passage here. Now, let's go back over. If you would notice, if you would, in 1 Kings chapter 22, you'll notice with me, if you would, in verse number, 1 Kings 22, notice, if you would, in verse number 1, they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. So there's 3 years of peace. Verse 2, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now, who's the king of Israel? Ahab. Verse 3, the king of Israel said unto his servant, know ye that Ramoth-Gilead is ours, and we be still. In other words, there's a certain section of land that these Assyrians have got. They've taken it from us, and they've had it for 3 years. Do you understand that's our land? Jews and Jews only. We ought to go take it back while we sit. We still here. And we be still and take not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art. In other words, we're in the same boat. I'll be glad to go together with you. Let's go fight together. Just like you are, I am. We'll fight and we'll win the battle together. Now, if you have your Bible, you'll notice, take your Bible and turn me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And we'll see the parallel passage. And you'll see it a little bit more clearly. Again, we're learning about friendships, fellowships, where the line is. 2 Chronicles 18, chapter 18, verse 1. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and joined affinity with Ahab. Now, there you go. The word affinity is he joined, yoked up with Ahab. And we see how back over in 1 Kings chapter 22. What did he do? He goes down and he says, I am as you are, my people as your people. Let's fight together, shoulder to shoulder. Now, let me explain this to you. One of God's key principles is you cannot fellowship. You cannot get close to the wicked. So if you've got a teenage boy or teenage girl that meets somebody at work, you have to really be careful to teach them, keep your heart up and your distance up. Because if they're not saved and going the same direction, not just saved, there are a lot of believers that are not going the right direction. It is saved and going the same direction. How can you have two oxen in a yoke going the opposite directions? They may be at the same point, but they're going the wrong way. They'll never get anywhere. They'll hurt each other. So, notice if you would, in verse 5, Jehoshaphat feels a little bit uncomfortable after he said that. Keep in mind, he joined affinity with it. He's already committed to him. At that point, he should have said, wait a minute, I made a mistake. I got to go home. I'm not going to battle with you. I know it's not right. But notice what he does. He takes the next step back, which a lot of Christians do. Notice, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Now, folks, there are some things that you can pray about. But you can't pray about things that are scripturally wrong or right. You can't pray about and say, well, I wonder if I should be a witness today. You can't pray about that. You can say, Lord, help me to be a witness. But you can't say, Lord, I wonder if you want me to be a witness today. I wonder if you want me to tell the truth today. I wonder if you want me to be faithful to my wife today. You can't pray about things that are right or wrong according to Scripture. They're already set. Now, if you have friends or relatives, you can't hang around them an awful lot, share ideas and dreams if they're going one way and you're going the other way, saved or not. And here's the example. Jehoshaphat gets with a man that's very wicked, but he's very nice to me. Now keep in mind, Ahab is not a vicious, mean king like a lot of kings were. He is a king that wants people to like him. Do you remember the last time he went into a Naboth's vineyard and he said, sell me your vineyard. And Naboth says, I can't because it's against what God has said for me to do. And he goes home and pouts about it. He doesn't say, I'm the king, you have to sell it to me. He didn't claim that authority. He got disappointed and went home and left Naboth alone. It was Jezebel that had Naboth killed. So then Ahab said, okay, I'll take it now because Naboth is dead. So he didn't do the right thing. He didn't stand up for right. And he got what he wanted, but he let his wife do it. That tells you that Ahab was not this fiery Nebuchadnezzar type. Everybody will do what I say or else. He had a soft heart, tender heart. He was a nice, likable guy. So Jehoshaphat says, hey, if you want to go take back some villages that were stolen from you and the people, and they're waiting for you to help, we'll go with you. And so then he says, but oh, wait a minute. Let's check with the Lord first. So you can't pray about things that are wrong. You can't pray about things that you know you ought to do. You can't pray about and say, well, should I tell the truth or not? You can't pray about that. We just have to do what we know is right. Now, notice if you would, verse 6, the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 of them, and said unto them, shall I go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle? Shall I forbear? And they said, go up for the Lord. Keep in mind, God, the Lord shall deliver to the hand of the king. Now, Jehoshaphat knows that these 400 prophets are prophets of what? Baal. So notice his next question, verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord? Do you notice the difference in the Lords? The first Lord is little letters. The second Lord is big letters. Jehovah is the second Lord, Adonai. It's the God of heaven. The other one means God's Lord. So they were worshiping any God, any Lord. Jehoshaphat knew that, and he said, well, do you have anybody that's worshiping the true God and that we can inquire of him? So notice verse 8, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. Now, it's amazing that he knew exactly where a man was that wanted to do what was right, that worshiped the L-O-R-D, all caps. And you know what? When you have a good testimony, when you stand up for what's right, you're going to be known too. The idea is, you just have to be known as someone that's a godly man that loves the Lord, wants to do what's right, because Christians are to be known by their love for God, not for their viciousness and their viciousness over doing what's right. And so when somebody doesn't tell the truth and we blast them, well, you liar, we can't do that. You'll never reach people. We learn to be lovingly strong. And so he says, look, there's yet one man. Watch what he says. And Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the L-O-R-D, he knows exactly who the L-O-R-D caps is. And he knows who worships him and into who walks with him. But I hate him. Why is that? Because he was going the other direction. Now watch what he says. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now notice very carefully. Anybody that's got an evil heart going the wrong direction, you can never think much good about them. Because not much good's ever going to happen. It's the wrong direction. And so he says he never prophesied anything good about me. And there's some people, they get a complex because so-and-so doesn't ever say anything good about me, at work. But if you're a liar and you're lazy and you're dishonest, there's not much good to say. And so it doesn't mean you go around blabbing everything, but it's not like he's got a good testimony. Well, Jehoshaphat has a good testimony, but Ahab is the most wicked king that's ever lived in Israel. And everybody knows it. And the prophet can't bless him and say, oh, you're a good guy. He said, look, the Lord's going to punish you for what you're doing wrong. So notice what happens. Verse 9, then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah, the son of Imla. Go get him. Tell him to come here. Now, let's go back and look at the outline tonight. Roman number 1, Ahab and Jehoshaphat combined forces, and it was a disaster. Now, notice A, one of God's key principles is that his people should not have fellowship and run with the wicked. Now, fellowship is more than a working relationship. You may have to work with the unsaved, but you're going to have some difficulties because they're going to cut corners and do things that you're not comfortable with. And you have to learn to deal with that best way you can. Notice number letter B. Ahab, as an ungodly man, didn't care about God's principles. He didn't really care what was right. And neither do people in the world. They don't really care a lot about what God thinks. And that's why immorality is so prevalent today. They don't care if they're married before they have a relationship, a physical relationship or not. They don't care. Why? Because I don't need to get married. They don't value God's word. And that's the reason homosexuality. They don't value God's word. Liars. They don't value God's word. Because God said, thou shalt not lie. So we have to learn that we have to value God's word. And when somebody doesn't, we don't run around with them that much. We ought to be kind and gracious to everyone. We could never reach them and bring them to Christ, no matter what they're doing. If it's a drug addict, we have to learn to try to be gracious to them and help them, but help them out of it. But we don't go to dinner with them and share thoughts and ideas and dreams with them because they're going to burn us. They're going the wrong direction. Well, notice most Christians don't understand that. They can't put the dividing line down where friendship stops based upon direction and heart. Now notice in the outline, see, Jehoshaphat ignored and didn't obey God's principle of fellowship and friendship. And notice what he does. He didn't say, I don't care what God says, but he did in his actions. He voluntarily went to Ahab. He went to Ahab of his own accord. Ahab didn't invite him down. You and I have to pick the right people. We have to be careful about who we pick to be our friends. All of us. They have to believe this book. They have to be going this direction. And it doesn't matter if it's family. I have family. I mean, I drove to Texas to be with family. 1,500 miles just to be with family and pray together with them and eat with them 2 hours. But my antennas are up because our doctrine is completely different. But I can love them. And I pray for them every day to trust Christ. And I have for I don't know how long. If I don't go and I don't encourage them, I brought the meal. I sat down with them. I told them what church I was at. I left a tract. I've been praying that tract, the name of the church, and the doctrine that's on it, I made sure it had the plan of salvation, and I laid it there. And I said, oh, that's the church where I was going to church this morning. I just want to leave you where I'd been. And then I left. And I've been praying for that piece of paper to somehow the words on that paper, the words of God, to get to their heart. Because I love them. So I can't ignore them. Now, watch this. He voluntarily, number one, went to Ahab. You and I can't allow ourselves, even though there are people that really enjoy doing that. I don't go hunting with people that are wicked and unsaved. I mean, I don't go fishing with people that are wicked and unsaved. I might go with someone that's going the right direction that loves the Lord. I would do that. But my point is that I'm very careful who I run around with as a pastor. As a plumber, I was careful. I didn't run around with any of the other plumbers. Notice, if you would, two, he knew better, but he didn't obey his heart or God's word. Now, then he tried to correct it by saying, oh, let's go ask what a preacher says that loves the Lord. Now, you can't do that. Number one, you put the preacher in a bad spot. He's got to look at you and say, no, you didn't do what's right. And let me give you an example. Don't live your whole life for yourself, a wicked guy, and then die, and then say, hey, get Pastor Pittman to come preach my funeral, and expect me to lift you up and say he was a wonderful guy and loves the Lord. There's not much I can say. I'm not going to get him to say he was a sorry no good. I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to say, you know, today if he could come back, he would tell you that the Lord wants you to trust him as Savior. Because even the rich man that died and went to hell said, would you send someone to tell my five brothers so they don't come to this horrible place? There's no one in hell that wants everybody else to come there or anybody else to come there except the devil. So I know what would happen if somebody appears to me to die and go to hell. I don't know that. So I can always say if they trust the Lord as Savior, they're in heaven. But if you people that know Christ as Savior and you've walked right and you've done what's right, I was at a church a while back that said one of their founding members died, and it was a lady, and they says, and the place had a victory celebration and said, I've never been to a funeral that's so uplifting and so wonderful. Why? Because we know where she is today. She's in heaven. She talked about it. She was excited about spiritual things. Everybody loved her. She did what was right. And everybody knew that's a lady I'd like to be like. Well, that person's easy to preach their funeral versus the guy that was arbitrary and contrary and people didn't like to be around them, and they were going the wrong direction. So direction and heart make all the difference. So notice, if you would, he tried to say, let me fix this problem, this affinity that I've, this agreement I've made with him, and let me get a preacher to say we ought not to go. So notice, if you would, verse 11, and Zedekiah, the son of Chana, said, made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets and prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper. And then they used the Lord's name, the great God of heaven, L-O-R-D, capital, shall deliver it in the king's hand. So Jehoshaphat heard them use the Lord as just a regular God. Now they've changed it to the God of heaven. And Jehoshaphat picks up on it. Now watch, verse 13, the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. All 400 prophets tell the king, go to battle with Jehoshaphat, and let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah saith, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Now that's a man of God. That says, I can only say what God says. But I can say it kindly and graciously. But I can't say that immorality is ever right, period. None, ever. I can't say that going and getting drunk is ever right, period. None, period. I can't say if you steal from your employer, that's okay and it'll be right. It's never right. There are things that are never right. You can't run around on your husband or your wife. It's never right. You can't disobey your parents. It's never right. It's never, ever right because it's in Scripture. And so a preacher can't say anything. If he loves the Lord, he can say nothing, but whatever the Lord says, that's what I'm going to say. Now notice what happens. D1 in the outline. D says he tried to get his partnership with Ahab approved by God even against Scripture. One, he asked Ahab to inquire about God's will. And Ahab asked his prophets of Baal, those 400. Two, Jehoshaphat asked if he would inquire about God's will from a prophet of the Lord. The second time, L-O-R-D, all caps. The prophet of the Lord said Ahab would not come back alive. Look at verse 17. And he said, I saw, now this is the prophecy that Micaiah says. And I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as a sheep having not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. The idea was that Ahab was going to die that day. They were not going to have a master. And the soldiers were all going to be scattered because they had no leader. Well, verse 18. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy, that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. And he goes through and tells the story of while what happened. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 27. So the king Jehoshaphat standing there, Micaiah told him the truth, said, if you come, you're not going to come back alive. So Ahab gets angry and he says, put that guy in prison till I come back in peace. Well, Micaiah in verse 28 said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord, L-O-R-D caps, hath not spoken by me. Well, notice in the outline, 4, D4, Ahab had the prophet imprisoned. I missed 3. Let me go back. The prophet of the Lord said Ahab would not come back alive. Notice 4, Ahab had the prophet imprisoned until he got back. 5, Ahab still somehow persuaded Jehoshaphat to partner with him and they went to battle together. Now here's Jehoshaphat. He knows in his heart he's not supposed to be going. He tries to get a prophet to back him up and say it's okay. The prophet says it's not okay. Ahab's going to die today in battle. And so Jehoshaphat says, oh my goodness. And then on top of that, Ahab says, put that prophet of the Lord, L-O-R-D caps, in jail till I get back in peace. What in the world could Ahab have said to make up for those two things, the prophecy and what he did to the prophet, and still go with him to battle? It's almost like, well, I've given my word. I got to go keep my word. You never have to keep your word if it's wrong. Now notice, if you would, verse 29. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. They go together. Right after, he puts a prophet in prison. Now, I want you to notice this. 5, Ahab still somehow persuaded Jehoshaphat. So he persuades him, but notice 6. Ahab set up Jehoshaphat to die in his place. Then he said, well, how did he do that? Well, notice in verse number 30, the king of Israel, this is Ahab, said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. And it flattered the king of Israel. It flattered the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat. I'm going to go into battle looking like the leader of both groups, Israel and Judah. I'll ride in my chariot and everybody will think, wow, there's the real leader. And Ahab said, I'm going to sneak around and I'm going to do some undercover stuff. I'm going to fight quietly. Nobody will know what I'm doing, but you be the big, big, big dog. So he says, okay, what Ahab was doing, he knew that the Syrians would hunt for the leader first and try to kill him, and then all the other soldiers would dissipate. Ahab got set up Jehoshaphat. So notice what happens. Verse 31, the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that rule over his chariots, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. Now keep in mind, the king of Israel set up the king of Judah to look like the king of Israel so that he would take his place. And notice, verse 32, it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it is the king of Israel. He's dressed like a king. It's got to be him. They turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out, wait a minute. I'm not the king of Israel. I'm the king of Judah. I'm not the king of Israel. Hey, wait a minute. Verse 33, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. So Ahab is really smart and devious. And he used someone that came to be his friend as his decoy to save his own life. That's what friends do that are wicked. That's what a friend will do in the end when you put him under pressure. Now, Ahab has got this prophecy in the back of his mind. The L-O-R-D said, I was going to die today. I got to do something to make sure it's not me. So he traded places with Jehoshaphat. Well, understand, God's word is always true. So what does he do? He gets a soldier that's got a bow and arrow and says, I'm just going to take it and shoot it up in the air and see where it lands over in the enemy. Notice, if you would, in verse number 34. And a certain man, unnamed, drew a bow at a venture, just at a guess, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. He shoots it up in the air, and it just happens to go right in between where the breastplate and everything's put together. Or in the back. We don't know where it was, how it was put together. Most of them were all the way across the front. Could have been here. It could have been in the back. It's between the joints of the harness. So he gets an arrow and he's dying. So you'll notice, if you would, verse 34, and wherefore he said unto the driver of the chariot, turn thou thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at evening. So he held him up in his chariot so they knew who he was, so they would keep fighting. But then he finally dies. He bleeds to death, and the blood ran out of the wound in the midst of the chariot. Now watch this, if you would. Notice Roman numeral 2. In the battle, Ahab was killed. A, the prophecy of Ahab's death came to pass by an archer that just shot into the air, and the arrow killed Ahab. We just read that. Elisha's prophecy came to pass, and the dogs lipped up the blood of Ahab in the same place as they did Naboth's. So Elijah the prophet said, look, you're going to die for taking Naboth's vineyard. The blood was shed for Naboth as he was stoned to death. And the blood ran out and the dogs licked it up. Said, the same dogs in the same place are going to lick your blood when you die. So they take the chariot. They go over to this area of the city. And notice, if you would, verse 38, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. So it was the exact fulfillment of the prophecy of Elijah. Now notice with me, if you would, Roman numeral 3, Jehoshaphat grew in the Lord, and Ahab's son followed in Ahab's ways. Now, we're going to notice A, and you're going to see a change. And the lesson tonight to learn about friendship is always pick out two things. The heart of a person, do they love the Lord genuinely so? Now, 99 times out of 100, you can tell that by just seeing their actions and their personality. But number two, what direction are they going? Look at the actions that they take. Are they positive about spiritual things? Do they talk good about spiritual things? Do they talk good about spiritual people? So a teenager, if you hear another person trash his parents, they're not going the right direction. That is not the right direction. If you know someone at work that's a Christian and other people are trashing him, then you know they're not going the right direction. Now, understand tonight, and when I say someone that's trying to do what's right, a Christian that's trying to please the Lord, he's always going to be criticized by some people because there's a jealousy about spiritual things that has always been there in the history of the world. Is that I don't want you to get blessed. I want to bring you down to my level. That's where Satan does. That's always Satan's desire. And that he gets into our hearts and tries to do that to us. And so how did Jesus die? Because the Pharisees were worried about their jobs. And they said, if we don't kill him, the whole world's going to follow him. They weren't worried about right. They weren't worried about who the Messiah was. They weren't worried about getting people to heaven. They were worried about their robes and their respect. Wrong direction. That's the reason Jesus says they're hypocrites, a generation of vipers, of snakes, because their direction is wrong. So if someone has the wrong heart, don't be close to them. If someone has the wrong direction, don't be close to them. That doesn't mean you be mean to them. You can be gracious and kind to them, but you put up your wall so that you don't share dreams and ideas. When you sit down with someone and you begin to share dreams and ideas, they influence you. Influence is the death knell for friendships. It takes people that are trying to do what's right the wrong direction. Because you have an affinity toward that person, a care for that person, and you don't want to look bad in their eyes. You don't want to disappoint them. You don't want them to feel alone. They can put pressure on you and say, well, don't you care about me? Can't you? I don't want to do this alone. Why don't you come go with me? That's exactly what Ahab does to Jehoshaphat. Now notice in the outline, A, Jehoshaphat followed his father and did right. He did right with his heart. Now we know that Jehoshaphat did what was right. But notice one, he had a good example. So it's not always that a good example causes someone behind it to do what's right. But I can tell you what, that's the best thing we can do for people, is to give them a good example, footsteps to follow after. And if we're real in our hearts and we spend time with that person, we become friends with those people. That's when we make the difference. It's that personal connection with people trying to do the right thing. Now notice, if you would, two in the outline. Finally, he listened and obeyed after God sent Jehu the seer to rebuke him. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 2 Chronicles. We'll close, and I'll try to finish the outline very quickly. 2 Chronicles, if you would. Notice 2 Chronicles 17. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse number 9. 2 Chronicles 17, if you would, verse number 9. Now notice, Second Chronicles 17, number 9. I've got the wrong passage here. Notice with me, if you would, let's see, let me find it real quickly. Second Chronicles chapter 20, look with me if you would, in verse 35. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 35. And notice if you would, here's where Jehoshaphat does the wrong thing. Now notice with me if you would. Verse 35. And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. So you can see he does the wrong thing. He joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. So he joins himself in multiple ways. In both ways, the ships are destroyed. He loses in both ways. But you'll notice, if you would, in 2 Chronicles 18 and verse 1, you'll see that he makes a mistake and he joins in with him and he worships with him. Now we're looking back. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. So you can see that he makes a mistake here and he's trying to learn and he's trying to figure out what he should do. Well, notice, if you would, in the outline, Roman numeral 3, Ahaziah follows his father's example and was wicked and made him angry. God was angry at him for worshiping Baal, and God only allowed him a 2-year reign. You can see that, if you would. You'll notice in 2 Chronicles. Now, I want to take just a minute, and you'll notice that Jehu comes to him as the prophet and says, look, I don't want you to go with the prophet anymore. As a prophet, I don't want you to go anymore. The Lord doesn't want you to go with Ahab. And he says, okay, and he learned his lesson. He said, I won't go with him anymore. And as a result of not going with him anymore, Ahaziah, Ahab's son, comes and says, hey, can we ride with you in your ships? And he says, no, you cannot. So he did learn his lesson. Notice, if you would, you can see in these passages that he was in real trouble. Now let's flip back over to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. In verse number 49. Then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, to Jehoshaphat, let my ship, my servants, go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. So he does learn his lesson. He does realize, oh, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. You'll notice, if you would, in the outline, number four, he did not let Ahab's son join him in his venture with his ships the second time. So we see that Ahab does have an effect on his son. His son is wicked. We see that Jehoshaphat does learn his lesson and says, the next time, I'm not going with you. Now notice, if you would be in the outline, we must learn to be strong in the Lord and have the right friends and relationships. Then God can give us his richest blessings. Now, I'm going to read this verse to you and we're done. Proverbs 13, verse number 20. Listen to this verse, if you would. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you do whatever you do, learn the lesson that if I walk with wise men, I'll make good decisions. If I walk with the wicked, I'm going to make terrible decisions. I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to make troubled decisions. I'm going to have trouble my whole life if I walk with people that do what's wrong. And tonight, friendship is for all of us. We all have friends. We want to make friends, but make friends with people that, number one, know Christ as Savior and love him. And number two, are going the right direction. They're living by the principles of God's word. If you do not, they will use you when they're under pressure. They will affect you. They will influence you the wrong direction. In the end, you'll pay a heavy price. Had teenagers riding in a vehicle with somebody else. Hey, let's go do such and such. They didn't have the courage to say, let me out of the car. And they all got in trouble. And the one wanted no part of it. Tonight, I just encourage you, pick the right friends, because God is watching. And verse 49 said, he was angry at Amaziah, the son of Ahab. He said, because he didn't do what was right. So tonight, we don't want the Lord to be angry with us. We want him to love us and to bless us. Tonight, friendships are critical to continually doing what's right. Especially with teenagers, but with us too. Influence can ruin us, or it can build us. Let's build people this week. Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, tonight, would you bless your word? Lord, I pray that you allow us to walk with you. I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that tonight you would take your word and stir our hearts, that we pick the right friends, we wouldn't make unequal yokes. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight as the pianist plays. In your name we pray. Amen.